Heavenly Father, we just put ourselves before you this morning.
Yes.
Knowing that we're nothing, we're just men standing here, sisters standing here before you. Let us present ourselves a living sacrifice
yes.
this morning.
Yes,
Lord, fill us with your word this morning. Take those things, as the song talked about, that we've had our fill of. Take those things out of us and fill that emptiness with you this morning, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I was thinking, of course, any minister that has ever preached a message, he goes home and he lays in bed and that anointing slowly fades away and he lays there and he begins to think of what he should have said and what he shouldn't have said and he begins to beat himself up. So I'm laying there last night and I'm thinking, you know, it was maybe a little hard.
No.
But I got to thinking, you know, why do we preach so hard, Brother Tony? Because we can't sit still. We got to move on. If we're just sitting there, we're moving. And I got to thinking about sitting at a red light one time. And there was a big truck on this side and a big truck on that side. And all of a sudden, I had that feeling that I was moving backwards. And I hit the brakes even harder and I realized I was just sitting there. What it was, both of those trucks started easing forward,
yeah.
anticipating that light. And they were just barely moving, but my body, without even noticing it, without even realizing this would happen, my body, my eyes were seeing those things moving on each side of me, and I was sitting still, but I had the feeling that I was moving backwards. Mm-hmm. So what happens? You have somebody that's sitting still, and everybody else is moving forward, and they're moving backwards is what's actually happened.
Yeah.
So right. we want to keep moving. And
amen.
There was a... We just got to build and build. My dad took me, before I was born, they lived in St. Louis. He took me to the neighborhood they lived in, and he pointed something out, and it was just a slab. And he said they put that slab down back when they lived there, about 1970 or 71, they put a slab down there. They built a basement and put a slab on top of it, and they moved in. Moved into the basement. And their idea was is that later, when they had the time and the money, they were going to build. But other things come. They decided to buy a car instead of building the house.
Yeah.
And here it was. This was in probably 2002 or so. And here we are 40 years later, 30 years later, and they're still living in the basement of that house. They got a good foundation.
Yeah.
They started out with God sent a prophet, and they got a revelation that there's a word in this hour, but they never built on that.
Right.
And here they are years later, all of their neighbors are living in houses and have a roof over them. And here they are living in a basement. Now, will they make it? Perhaps they will. But all this time, they could be living in a house and enjoying the protection from the elements. But here they are in a basement where it's dark and cold
right.
and damp. So let's not live in a basement, but let's,
amen. Right. Amen.
Let's move forward.
Amen.
And going on with this living sacrifice, I was looking at this and I got to thinking about when we think of a sacrifice, our mind goes back to the old Bible where they took a lamb or a bullock or a heifer and they would cut the throat and they would kill the animal. And the sacrifice then is no longer living, but it's dead. So the sacrifice gave us life for a certain reason. There's a peace offering or a sin offering or whatever kind of offering it was, the animal had to die. But Paul's saying here, you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Right.
I got to think about how do you kill something and it yet be a living
right.
something.
Amen.
You got to be a sacrifice, so you got to die. But at the same time, you got to live. And I got to thinking about the scriptures. It said, you who have been made alive. And he said that the Spirit of Christ, that if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you.
Right.
It'll quicken your mortal bodies. But yeah. the only way to quicken this body is to kill this flesh. He said you got to mortify the deeds. The things that I used to do, I got to mortify them. I can't sit and brag about them and talk about, you know, all the old times when we had so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's not mortifying. That's lifting those times up and that's telling the teenagers and the young people saying, oh, I had so much fun out in the world. It makes them say, oh, I got to go out there and I got to experience that. But they don't have to experience it.
That's
There's
right.
no reason for them to bear the scars of an old life out in the world because of us bragging about it and talking about how much fun we had. It's okay. we testified to the Lord. We testified to our brothers that the Lord brought me from this. Men, and right. The brother was sitting last night, and we had a long conversation. He was telling me where the Lord brought him from. What he was doing is he was lifting up the Lord.
Right.
And at the same time, whether he realized it or not, he was cutting the throat of that old man.
Right.
He was pouring out the blood of that old man, and that sacrifice was that old man was dying. Yeah. Even again last night, he was bringing another sacrifice to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And what that old man was dying.
Right.
But he was becoming a living sacrifice because of the Spirit of God that he was testifying to that brought him out of those things.
Right.
Made him a living sacrifice. Paul said, I beseech you, brother. To beseech. I was looking up what, you know, that word, we think we know what it means until we start looking at it. And it's to admonish or exhort somebody. We know that. You know, when you beseech somebody, you're exhorting them. You're begging him. I entreat you. I beseech you. It's not a suggestion.
Right.
It's not him saying that, well, it might be better if you do this. But he's saying, I beseech you. It's not a good idea. It's not an option. If you want to move on to this next verse and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you've got to do this. It says to console. And here's what I like. To encourage and strengthen. He's not doing this to beat you down. He's not saying to present your body as a living sacrifice just to be mean to you or say to browbeat you. But it's to encourage you. To strengthen you by consolation. To comfort you. Think about these words that to beseech you is to encourage you. It's saying, there's a better way, brother. There's your life can be so much better if you'll just do the Word of God. And he says, by the mercies of God, the compassion, not Paul's mercy, not my mercy, my brother Tony's mercy, brother Daniel's mercy, but the mercies of God, God's own compassion, that you do this by the mercies of God, the emotions and the longings of God. God's longing. The Spirit that created the world is longing for you. Think about it. All of this creation, how great God is and how big He is, and we can't put Him, He's so big we can't even fathom. He wants you, sister. He wants you. He's longing for each individual.
Amen.
These young boys over here, this young sister Lydia here, sitting here, the Lord has a longing in His heart. He has emotions like humans do. And He has a longing for each person to present themselves to Him. To present yourself. When you present, you place yourself at one's disposal.
Right.
When I present myself to the world, I'm presenting Christ. But I'm not there to present myself for their disposal. But I present myself acceptable unto God. Mm-hmm. So what I'm doing is I'm presenting myself, saying that, Lord, I'm at your disposal. Whatever you need me for. If you need me for one day and you take me home, that's my sacrifice. That's me for you. If I got to live 150 years on this earth and suffer the things and testify, that's my sacrifice for you. To present your body is to show by argument or to prove. So, when somebody in the world wants to know, how come y'all dress that way? I got to be prepared. In this living sacrifice, I got to be able to argue. I got to be able to show and to prove what is good and acceptable. To bring near. To bring into one's fellowship. When you present your body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, you bring yourself to fellowship or intimacy. That intimacy with the Lord. To know the Lord. He said, those ones would come to Him and they said, didn't we cast out devils and didn't we heal the sick and speak in tongues and all these things? And He said, depart from me. You had good works. You done all these things, but I never knew you. You never presented yourself with fellowship and intimacy to God. And the last one on present, it's the same word, but you just pronounce it another way. It's present.
Yes.
To present yourself, You got to be present, Brother Tony.
Yeah.
You can't present yourself at home. If you're going to present yourself to the Lord, you got to be where the Lord's at to be there. You got to be present with the Lord to present yourself. Let's go to Leviticus. And I want to talk about this sacrifice. I want to tell a story. And this is what I love doing. Sometimes you get up here, a preacher, some of them, they like it, but most of them don't like to cut. But I love to tell a story. Leviticus 1, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, that if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish, and he shall offer it of his own voluntary will.
Amen.
At the door, think about that. His own voluntary will. He shall offer it at the door of the tabernacle in the congregation before the Lord. He should put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And I was thinking about these Jewish men. And in this story, there's two of them. There's two men, and it's the time of the year that they got to bring a sacrifice to the temple. And so this one man, when the lambs were born in the spring, he had picked out the best one. And this man's got a family, and he's got children. And so here comes the crop of lambs, and they don't have much. They just live off the lamb. They have a few animals. And here they got the very best lamb. And this lamb would be worth a lot in the market if they would sell it. But his mind's on other things. So he takes the very best lamb. Lambs are so cute and cuddly. And we, you know, it's one of those creatures you just want to hold up to you. They're soft. And he picks the very best one. And he goes and he puts it in a special place where it's protected from the weather. He feeds it, Brother Tommy, like he was talking about last night. They feed it by hand. He makes sure that this lamb, if they're running short on feed, that the lamb that he's going to be his sacrifice gets fed first.
Right.
This is the first thing that happens in his house. Before he even went hungry to feed his lamb.
Right.
Maybe his children had to sacrifice a new toy to feed the lamb.
Right.
Maybe they couldn't live in such a nice house because they had to feed their lamb. Maybe they had to drive a used car instead of the new car like everybody else got so they could feed their lamb. But what their priorities was right, because the priorities was saying that my life, my eternal destination depends on this lamb being fed and being healthy and being perfect without spot. Yeah.
That's right.
So they were sacrificing for this lamb. So their sacrifice was here, but here they were sacrificing themselves to make their sacrifice good. And then one day, it's the day. And maybe mother doesn't even go outside because she just can't stand to bear it. Because here they've raised this lamb for a year. And they all know it because they've all fed it by hand. They've cuddled it. They've combed its coat to keep it from being knotted. They've cleaned it when it got dirty. This lamb, it's not like all the other lambs or goats that's out, you know, that they've got on their farm. This one is special. This is the one that they've held in their hands. We've all had a pet like that. A dog, or some people have cats, or some people have birds. And when you have a relationship with this animal. And that's how this family was, because all year long they've made sure that this was the best. And they've done the best for it, the best that they could do. So Dad gets up that morning and it's kind of quiet in the house, because they know that this is the last time they're going to see their little animal. And the children are crying. And Dad has to go pick it up, and he knows that when he comes back, he's going to come back without it. So he's walking down the road, and then on his way to the temple to make his sacrifice. And he's got a neighbor, and this is the other man in this story. He's got a neighbor that didn't have time for a lamb. His job kept him away from the lamb. His children had schools that they had to go to, and they had to study all nights, and his wife had a job so they could afford better things, and so they didn't have time to raise the lamb. So, believe it or not, there's a provision in the law for this. that if you didn't have time or you didn't if for some reason you couldn't take a lamb, then you could buy a lamb. And then if you didn't have time to go to the temple, you could pay somebody to take your sacrifice. So on the road, our first man is carrying his lamb. And he gets to a crossroad, and here comes another man. And he's been hired by the neighbor to take a lamb that he bought. And here's these two men walking toward the temple. One of them's carrying a lamb that he loves, that he's fed, that he knows it means something to him. He sacrificed, his children have sacrificed. And the other man is walking beside him, and he's carrying a lamb that he bought. And he's just taking it up there because the neighbor paid him to do it. The lamb doesn't mean anything to him. The lamb, he doesn't care about the lamb. And so they're walking. One man's crying, and the other man's looking at his watch saying, I wish this, you know, we gotta hurry up and get this trip over with because, well, I need to get back home. So maybe I can make more money taking more sacrifices for other people. But here they get to the door of the tabernacle. And they got to present their lamb to the priest. And this is where a lot of people, this is where they leave off. Because they want to examine their own lamb, Brother Tony. They want to say, well, I think it's good enough. I think that this lamb is exactly what God, but what happened was God has sent priests at the tabernacle to examine their lamb, to make sure it's with the law, make sure it's the best, make sure there's no spot or blemish. And so in this day, he sent a fivefold ministry. He's got these men that he's anointed with an anointing. We got teachers to teach you how to live the word. We got pastors to lead you and guide you.
Come on, preach.
We got prophets and evangelists. We got all these ministries, and people want to leave that off. I don't need those people. I can sit at home. I can listen to a tape. I can do this. I can leave my own self. Or I can even go to a church and sit under a pastor, but I don't have to listen to him. As long as I'm just there, I'm all right. But you got to have a minister. You got to have that fivefold ministry to examine your lamb, because you're going to miss something. And each one of them men are going to miss something, but that's why there's five gifts. Because it's all covered. Every bit of it's covered.
Right.
So they get there, and the priest examines the lamb. And then they come up on the altar. And the man that's hired, the hireling, he wants to go first so he can hurry up and get done. So according to the law, he's got to put his hands on it. And it's not even his lamb. It's not even his sins. He's just been hired to help somebody else. So he puts his hands on it, and the priest kills it, and he just, oh, I wish he'd hurry up and die. And then the other man's on the altar. And here's this lamb that he's raised. He's fed. His children have went hungry for it. His wife had to do without so they could feed this lamb. This lamb he loves. They put it up there, and he's holding on to it. He said, he should put his hand on the head. And he puts his hand on that head. Brother Branham talks about how it was a bleeding, bloody mess, and they would slice the throat. The blood would pour out. This man, he loves this animal. And he's seeing a whole year's worth of sacrifice. A whole year's worth of feed. He's going to go home empty-handed, and his children are going to be crying, and his wife's going to be crying. But he's standing there, and he feels the life go out of it. He feels the heartbeat get weaker. Weaker, and he hears it bleat, and it's crying because it's dying. I was at Brother Howard Carroll's one day, and there was a young man coming to the altar, and he was laying there. And you know how people do when they come to the altar? They'll pray, and they'll cry, and after about 5 minutes, they start moving around, and you can tell they're fixing to get up. And this young man was doing that, and he was fixing to get up, and Brother Howard walks over there, and he looks down at him, and he says, dying's hard. And the man just collapsed back on the altar, and what he was fixing to do is he thought he was there. But he had a minister that stood over him and told him, and you know, he didn't just tell him in those words, but what he said was, you're not dead yet. There's still life in that old man that you haven't killed yet. You need to lay there until you bled out.
Yeah.
Until everything is out, because there's something deep inside of it. You're laying there and you're saying, oh, forgive me for this and forgive me for that. But you know, right and way deep in your mind, you know there's this one thing that you're not going to get rid of. There's this one thing that you think that you can be hid from God, but there's a minister standing there and God anoints him to look down and say, dying's hard. So the man collapses and he takes that final cut, bleeds out that final bit of blood, and he completely dies out to the Lord. He feels the loss. He feels it.
Amen.
His heart beats for the last time. And he lays over. The other man, when his lamb dies, he's in a hurry to get back home. So here are these men, they've made their sacrifice. One of them's hurrying on the way home and he's thinking, well, when I get home, I'm going to do this and I got to do that and I got this job over here. The other man's going home and he said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've got a year that I'm free and clear. That this lamb that I raised that I love so much, it's dead now. But it died in my stead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And he gets back to where he lives and maybe somebody he knows meets him on the road. And he doesn't have to tell him where he's been.
Come on.
Because when he was down there at the altar and he was cutting that throat, there was blood splattering on him.
Right. Amen.
There was a smell of the lamb on him. The smell of the blood, and the blood's dripping on him. He's still got blood on him. And maybe he wiped the tears from his eye. He's got blood on his face. He's got blood on his robes, and his feet are covered in blood, and his hands are bloody where he held the lamb. So when he gets home from his sacrifice, his neighbors have to ask him, have you made your yearly sacrifice? Because they can see it.
Yeah.
And I think about people today that their neighbors, they don't know, have you made a sacrifice yet? Because they can't see anything. Do they see the blood of God when you're at Walmart? Do they see the blood? Do they see this message written all over your face when you go to the store?
Right.
Because that other man, he got home and he made sure that the neighbor that hired somebody, he never touched any blood. Oh, he did it exactly like the law said he could do it, but he never got any blood on him.
Yeah.
So when the neighbors asked him, have you made a sacrifice yet? He had to convince them of it.
Uh-huh.
But the other man across the street, he didn't have to convince them, because when he come home, there was a blood trail behind him.
Amen.
Everywhere he went, and when he touched the doorknob, there was blood on it.
Right.
When he went back to work the next day, everything he touched, he had blood on it. When he hugged his wife, the blood on his hands transferred to her. And he come home and he grabbed his son and he said, it's done. We've been forgiven, son. And there was blood on his son.
Yes.
And his daughter would come running to him. Daddy, Daddy, our lamb's dead. He says, I know, honey. But the Lord's forgiven us.
Amen.
And he's in the blood on his hands.
Glory to God.
Is on his daughter.
Amen.
But what does the neighbor do? The neighbor that's he's followed the letter of the law, but he doesn't have any blood. What does his children have over their head? What's on their doorpost?
Right.
How does his son know, Daddy, have you made a sacrifice? I don't see any blood. The other son across the street, he knows his dad has been with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because he come home and he's dripping with blood. And the other one, he comes home and, Dad, are you sure you made your sacrifice? I don't see any blood. And he says, well, I hired somebody to do it for me. Can you imagine if you grew up in a home and your dad hired somebody to do his work for the Lord? Because he didn't have the heart for the Lord like the other man did. This is the man that his children say, oh, Dad, are we really in the message? And then you got the other family and they know they're in the message.
Come on.
Because their friends at school make fun of them because they don't have a television.
They
make fun of them because they don't go to the movie house. They make fun of them because they don't say the cuss words out on the playground. They make fun of them because on Wednesday night they go to church. They don't go and play ball games on Wednesday night. If they would join the ball team and they had a game on Wednesday night, they'd have to tell the coach, I'm not going to be there.
That's right.
Come on. So they've got blood on them. And that dad has raised their family and he's put a protection over them. And that blood is covering the children. But that other man, if they have a ball game on Wednesday night, oh, there's always another Wednesday night. There's always another Sunday. You know the fish are biting real good this Sunday, Brother Tony, I looked at the almanac, and it says that today is the day they're supposed to bite real good. But it means something to me, because I was raised in a house, and my dad was one of those men. When it came time for the sacrifice, he made the sacrifice. I never had to question whether Dad was sacrificing. I never had to ask him, did you hire somebody this year? Because Dad was the one making the sacrifice. And I knew it because it was written on him.
Yeah.
It was written in our house. The people that come over, they didn't have to ask, were we in the message? As soon as they walked in, they knew that there was something different about this home. Like when you drive down the street at night and you see all the flickering blue screens through the window. They drove by our house at night and it was dark like it should be.
Right.
But now, instead of the flickering blue screen of the television, it's the screen of the internet.
Yeah.
Right.
That when men used to lay at night and cry and beg God for their families, now they're searching the internet because they have other things that's come on them. And now that sacrifice that they used to make is gone because they replaced it with those things. They replaced it with the internet. They replaced it with their cell phone.
Right.
They replaced it with Facebook and all of these things that people have that takes all their time away. These things are not wrong. It's not a sin. It's not a sin to read a book. But if you're one of those people that reads 24/7, it becomes a sin to you.
That's right.
You know, I've read some mystery books and I enjoyed them, and it relaxes my mind and lets me sort out thoughts and things. But if I sit home every night and read and never pick up my Bible, then it becomes a sin to me. So now when you talk about the internet, people get offended.
That's right.
Oh, you're saying I'm going to hell? No. The internet's got plenty of wrong with it. It's easy to say there's nothing wrong with the internet, but there's plenty wrong with it.
Right.
But the library books, there's plenty wrong with them too.
Yeah.
You can go to the library and get just as far deep in sin as you can on the internet.
Yeah.
The only difference is we don't see our young people gathering up at the library digging all hours of the night. Mm-hmm. But we see them on the internet. We see them on their cell phones all hours of the night, all day long. They walk down the street bumping into each other because they're looking here instead of where they're going.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
They're not making a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the spiritual application? You have Christians. And in their Christian walk, instead of looking with their eyes on the cross, with their steps ordered of the Lord, they're distracted with something else.
Yeah.
And so they're bumping into things. Their walk is so much harder than it should be. But this man, he comes home, and the blood's on him. It's the blood on you this morning. Have you made a sacrifice? As Paul said in Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Holiness is not an option. Holiness is not something that, well, you can decide, well, I'll live the holiness that Brother Branham preached, or I'll live the holiness of 2014. You present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So how do we know what's acceptable to God? We got a messenger.
Amen.
We got a messenger. We got a Bible. If there's a question in your life, there's a question about anything, we have an answer.
Right.
We have a biblical answer. We have a man, if you don't understand that, we got a prophet that lived in our age, can tell you the answer of these things. So if you make your body a living sacrifice, you won't be conformed to this world, but you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you'll prove what is good. These people that doubt the message, or these people that's half in, you can prove to them what is good and acceptable.
That's right.
Because if you'll take God at His word, Brother Brown said He's obligated to fulfill His word.
Amen.
Now, if you take Him partway, He might meet you partway. I don't know. But if you'll take Him all the way, He'll meet you all the way And you'll come together and you can prove what is good and acceptable. Amen. You can prove that this message is the way to live.
That's right.
You can go out of this world and have people gather around your bedside saying, I don't want to go out like I was talking about last night. Like she did.
Right.
Like he did. Because I know that's the way.
Amen.
You can prove what is good and acceptable. The perfect will of God. And it's the same sacrifice. Brother Branham talked about in the 40s and 50s that they'll call you an old maid if you dress right. That hasn't changed.
Right.
They're going to call you an old maid. If you're a man and you're raising a family, I had people tell me that I'm mistreating my kids because I won't let them have cable internet or cable and television. I've been told that I was mistreating my kids. I've been told that DHS are to come and get my children. Because I won't let them have a television. Because they're missing out so much. And when they grow up and they leave my house, that they're not going to know how to deal with the world because they've never been exposed to it. I say thank God. Because I don't want them exposed to it, but they can't deal with this world because they've been exposed to the answer of what's in this world. Whatever problems in it, whatever debaucheries in this world, we got the answer for it. So I don't need to teach them about the evil. I just need to teach them about the good because the good overcomes the evil.
That's right.
Like we was talking last night, he said, "It's the question is not what do I overcome, it's how do I overcome it. If you know how to overcome it, if your children know how to overcome it, you know, we're so worried that our son can be able to light a pilot light. We want them, when they get their own place, Brother Tony, we want them to be able to change a tire when it's flat. We want them to be able to paint if they need to paint the house. We teach them all these things, but have we taught them how to overcome?
Come on.
Do they know how to overcome lust?
Right.
Do they know how to overcome when the temptation comes to tell a lie to mama? Have we taught them how to overcome that? Have we taught them how to overcome the world? We teach them about, you know, you got to make sure you get a good job before you get married. You got to support those kids. But have we taught them how to support them in the Word of God?
Amen.
Have we taught them how to pray? Have we taught them how to lay at night and just beg God for the mercies to fall on his family? Have we taught them how to make a sacrifice for his family? That a man is not a dictator of his house and that all of a sudden when he leaves dad's house, oh, I can do whatever I want. I'm the boss of this house and I got a woman and she has to listen to me. My children have to listen to me. And so it's all about me. No. No.
That's right.
A sacrifice. It's not about the lamb. It's about the forgiveness of sins. It's about God Almighty.
Yes.
So a man that won't give himself for his family, that's a poor family.
Right.
That's a very poor family. A family can live in a mud hut and they can eat rice three times a day. And that family can be rich if they've got a father that has made a sacrifice and has pointed that family toward the Lord.
Amen.
And another family can live in a $2 million house. They can have 5-car garage with one in every car, in every garage. And that family can be poor.
That's right.
Because though they can walk from room to room and never miss a word of their show, and though they got everything, and they got the latest toys and the latest gadgets, that family can be poor.
Right,
but that same family can live in that same house. And if they have a dad that sacrificed himself for his family, they can be rich.
Amen.
Circumstances has nothing to do with the joy of the Lord.
That's right.
We have so many, I'd be happy if I had a better job. If I had this, joy has nothing to do with circumstances.
That's right.
The joy of your salvation is based on your salvation. And your salvation has nothing to do with the size of your house or the size of your debt or the size of your car. It's about the size of God.
Amen.
And we got a great big God, so there's
right.
plenty
Amen.
Of joy.
Amen.
Amen. If you'll stand with me and maybe we can play some music. I know it was just a little bit simple, but I felt like the, you know, just something simple and straight and direct sometimes is does more good than the deep swelling things that we can talk about all day long. Because if we never make that sacrifice, we'll never understand the deep swelling things. We'll never
That's
understand
right.
the mysteries that's in this right. Bible, the mysteries
Amen.
And the message. Because they'll always be mysteries to us. Because we'll never take that first step. Go ahead and play it. I'm just a simple preacher. God called me to the gospel, and I didn't even want to preach. But I stand here before you as a witness that whatever problem you have, whatever thing is hidden in your heart, that there's a Lord Jesus, it's waiting. You just give it to Him. Amen. Become that living sacrifice. He'll save your marriage. He'll save your finances.
Right.
He'll save your life.
Amen.
He'll save whatever needs to be saving. More importantly, He'll save your soul. So when you go home tonight, when I lay my head down tonight, I can lay down and say, thank you, Lord. I don't have to wonder if something falls on my house tonight, where am I going to be in the morning?
Yeah.
Because I know I have an assurity.
Oh, something in them that tells them, but not everybody wants to go the way God wants them to. Wants to use God's provided way. And I was, my wife and I were talking yesterday, and I said, the person was starving to death, and you came to them and you reached forth your right hand to give them food, and they looked at you and said, I won't receive that from your right hand. You must give it to me with your left hand. You'd think they were insane.
Right.
But whenever a person is in need and someone is reaching out to them, they have to accept that reaching out in the form it's given.
Right.
And so when God reached out to give to us the ability to be saved and the sacrifice and all, we have to accept it. We have to accept it His way. And Brother Bram talked about how the problem, what denominational systems do and people do, not just denominations, but individuals, he said they will go out and heathens. they would they'd form an image of what they thought their God looked like.
Right.
They'd do all this work and it's all and they put it all up there and then they would actually bow down before that image and they would believe that God would actually come down and inhabit that image and actually begin to speak to them. Brother Bram said, I don't doubt that you do think that God speaks to you through your image. But see, it was idolatry because it was an image that man created, though he was trying to serve God, though he was trying to worship God, but it was something he created. And just because of sincerity in a person's heart to create a way, they think God will meet them in, but if it's not God providing a way, he won't meet you there.
Right.
And it actually will become inhabited by a devil, by an evil spirit, in the place of God, and a person's thinking they're serving God, but because they didn't take what God put in place and let that be the way they approach God, and they make something themselves, then it becomes something evil. And so Satan gets the worship instead of God in those situations. And I think it'd be good for each one of us, because just because we're in the message, that doesn't mean we're immune to trying to make our own way.
Right.
God has a way, and it's back to that voice we heard last night, back to that voice that tells us what the way is, because we do live in an hour where we can prove what is acceptable. Because listen, I don't care, the world don't have vindication, but you and I can have vindication.
Amen. Right.
We can have it, because God will put his mark upon it.
Amen.
But we have to come his provided way, and I tell you what, saints, I'd much rather be that man walking up the road crying, carrying that lamb, than to pay somebody else to do it for me. A religion that has no heart feelings in it, a religion that has no emotions in it, a religion that has no power in it, I don't want it.
Right.
God hates a powerless religion, and so do we. Why would we want to serve a God who don't answer back and heal us, that doesn't answer back and fix the problems in our lives?
Right.
Why would we want to go serve him? Who would want to be leave this world and go live in a dimension with somebody that doesn't answer back? But what about one who does answer back?
That's right. That's
who does heal us, who does save us and save our children, and does do what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
I can serve God like that, see. But we want to come his provided way. Let's just bow our hearts if we get ready to leave. And I just want to pray over the service as it ends. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are for truth, Lord, to be spoken in our midst, Lord. There's so many people in this world, and perhaps they'll never hear the truth that we've heard today. But, Lord, we realize that you've come down, you've blessed us, and it's because you've singled us out, Lord, just like you singled Israel out to be a peculiar people, Lord, a holy nation. And that's us in this hour. Lord, we could be feasting on so many things, but you have come and singled us out, Lord, to be a people for your name. A people, Lord, that you've hand-selected and hand-feeding, Lord, for your purpose. And so, God, I know that when much more is given, there's much more responsibility. And I realize that, Lord, and I accept that responsibility. And I know this people, Lord, they want to serve you. They want to serve you with all their heart. But, Lord, we fight this battle, and we're here we are, struggling each day with the flesh and with so many gadgets and so many things to distract us. Lord, we realize that Pharaoh, once again, is taking all of our time away because we want to serve you. But in our hearts, Lord, we realize that you have a voice on the scene that will address the situation and cause Pharaoh to set us free, Lord. And so we just want to continue to look upon you, feed on your word, and trust you, Lord, to make a way where there seems to be no way. So many times, Lord. We ask that your blessings will be upon your people today. And Lord, as they go from this place, I don't know what the conditions of the roads are, but Lord, I believe that your blessings will go with them and they'll be safe on their journeys and arrive to their destination safely. And Lord, we ask that you would do that in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, honor their faith, their obedience, and their desire for coming out this morning to the house of God in an hour of adversity. We pray, God, that you bless them. And then, Lord, those that couldn't make it today, Lord, just go to them in their time, and especially those that put forth an effort to supplement the fact that they've missed this morning, that will listen to a sermon, that will spend some time in devotion. I pray, God, that you meet them there. And then, Lord, those who are slacking their walk and they don't even do that, we pray, God, that your spirit of conviction will be with them and help them too, Lord, to realize they need to be in your word. We commit this into your hands and ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We'll sing this song again some more as you're dismissed. God bless you. And before we do, I just want to say this is Fellowship Sunday, and we did prepare for people to come to the house of fellowship. But I also realize that if you have a concern about the highway, you need to go, then, you know, you're not obligated to do anything, but I want you to know you can come, fellowship, or at the house. We want you there if you can. God bless you.
Oh,
God, may you help them, Lord, in that home to create an atmosphere, God. Lord God, that you can work in, Lord Jesus. An atmosphere that you can work with, oh God. Lord, we put them before you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, may we stand firm, Lord, as we ask this petition, God, knowing that we will have exactly what we ask. Because it's according to your word, Lord. We're asking in the way you told us to ask for it, God. Lord, we're asking you for it now. Jesus, precious name.